All right. Welcome. Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 721 or 722, if you were here last week, but you didn't ever hear it. So
yeah,
I am Chris. Damn, Craig. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
If a tree falls in the forest and Craig wasn't invited to the call, does it make a sound?
No, it's not. Nothing happens. If you don't invite Craig to the tree falling party and your backup's not set up yet, then no, nothing's going on. Earl is here as well.
A party's not a party till Craig runs through it. Got to tell his crew he's a fit. Yeah, I forget how that song goes, but yes, I am here to save the day. Mighty Mouse will save the world.
How's it going?
I'm not even on my first drink. It's been a long day.
Oh no,
Mighty Mouse.
I'm with you. It has been a long day.
It has. This is not my first drink, but I don't think I'm as drunk as Earl.
I get it. I'm drinking my first drink now. It's just a day. I wish I had an excuse of alcohol. At least then that would be fun.
He's drunk on exhaustion.
Fair enough. Yeah, sorry about last week, everybody. Slipped my mind. I did not invite our recording robot to the party. And we had what I thought was a really, really good episode.
Yeah, and then great conversations.
Yeah. And I went to edit it on Saturday. I'm like, where is it? Where is it? And then I started flipping out. And then I realized that, yeah, never invited the robot to the recording party. Jeff did make me feel mildly better by being like, well, you weren't the only one that didn't notice.
This is true. None of us noticed Craig was not here.
I mean, I guess this is why.
I guess that's something.
This is why, Craig needs to speak up for himself. Though he sometimes does, doesn't he?
I blame Craig. Craig should have known he wasn't here.
Yeah.
Craig did not show up on time.
Wasn't he raising his hand and being like, yo, why aren't I in the party?
Unprofessional.
We talked about a bunch of stuff. The Pope, Grand Theft Auto. I don't think there was any Polygon or Giant Bomb news last week.
Was the news last week, wasn't it?
I thought that was the week before.
Okay. It all grows together, but yeah, there was conversations on that. I think there was a conversation on, the value of games and gaming. There was a lot of in-depth conversations. So
it was a great podcast that you'll never hear.
We'll never hear it. And we're back this week. We're going to give you a mediocre one. So, yay us. There is some news. Some stuff came out of PAX that was surprisingly positive for a change. Because most news out of any industry thing is bad. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how Polygon had just been bought. Giant Bomb had lost a bunch of people and weren't sure what the future for them is. Polygon's still shit. Like, nothing good is happening over there right now. But Fandom has agreed to sell Giant Bomb to its staff, and so Giant Bomb is now 100% independent as of, I guess, last week, but they made the announcement at PAX East over the weekend, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm excited for them. I'm excited. I think it seems like I think it's been a model that has been successful to a degree. Over the past few months, I've really gotten into Kind of Funny. I think that was like the first big one that's done it, where they are completely funded by Patreon and subscribers. I think Easy Ally has a fit similar model, min-max. So you do get these organizations because I think Jeff Grubb is very honest and frank at times, and I think he said it best is, we haven't figured it out. Why should we expect a corporate suits to figure out what game media is? And I think that's, I mean, that is true. I look at those, like, what is game media to you? Because and some to some people, it's previews and reviews, and that's it. A lot of people, I mean, this is why SEO does this thing. It's game guide, checking up, like, how do I find this thing? How do I find that thing? And then to, I think us and a lot of people who kind of are in those spares, like the forums and the hardcore social media, it's like you want that stuff, but you also want the in-between stories, like the what's going on, why was this game canceled, why can Jade Raymond not keep a studio game going forever? We'll get to that in a bit. But like you want, but that doesn't necessarily mean it brings money. So trying to figure out like what is the best course of action, and I think, you know, they have an opportunity to figure it out. I do think a bit negatively, a lot of it does end up being, again, I enjoy Kind of Funny, but a lot of that does end up being very personality driven. And I think the same thing will be said at Giant Bomb. And I don't necessarily think that's the bad thing, but it just means that you are getting what you want to hear about just from like what face do you want it associated with. And that's not necessarily, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting new news. It just means that you want to hear people's take on it.
Right. Like you don't tune into, you don't tune into Giant Bomb or Kind of Funny or, you know, you turn into them specifically for their personalities. People turn into Kind of Funny because of Greg Miller. I assume the same for Giant Bomb now, like people are tuning in for, you know, Jeff Grubb or Dan Reichert. And, I've fallen off Giant Bomb since, you know, the original crew kind of left about 4 or 5 years ago, but I'm happy for the people that are still fans of them. This is good for that site.
Yes, I guess what I was going to say is, I guess the short term, I think it's good. I think the long term is, if you're not already a personality, it's harder to break into that space now.
Absolutely.
So, like, what, like, I guess, like, yes, the people, like, you know, Kind of Funny, Greg Miller, big fat following on IGN, he was able to bring that over with him. Jeff Gerstmann, who started Giant Bomb, or your co-founder of Giant Bomb, that was a big thing. I mean, that is ancient news now. But a lot of things with GameSpot and him being fired, because, I mean, there's a lot of different pieces, but I think the story that tends to be internet or is that given a negative review to Kane and Lynch, which was opposed to the fact that they were running ads for Kane and Lynch on the website at the same time, and like ads and editorial are two different departments, as they should be. But again, it looks bad when they're running ads and this company's paying you money, and then you're giving bad reviews to their product. But again, big following early days. I think Easy Hours, I think, is a smaller case. But again, I think that was that Game Trailers was chosen down, and Game Trailers, I don't know if it had a big following, but I think it was something, again, you had to have been there. I think nowadays YouTube takes the place of it, but having a site dedicated to showing the highest quality video game trailers was a really big thing for about a decade, because a lot of sites could not host those giant file sizes and quality. But when that was chosen down, a lot of those people, you know, parlayed that. And a lot of these, Nexander, which is the old Giant Bomb crew, or Giant Bomb East, a lot of these big Patreons or whatever they use are spinoffs of popular websites. If you don't have those popular websites, where do you get these new personalities from?
Right, exactly. Like Remap is built out of the old Vice group. But, you know, they have Patrick Klepek, who's a name. You know, they've all made names for themselves as personalities. But yeah, like a group like Polygon, where they cut their whole staff, like, they can't all back out and become, like, personalities there. because they were just writers. They weren't front facing people. They were just writing stuff. So yeah, games media is weird. but good on fandom for realizing that they didn't know what the hell they were doing with Giant Bomb and selling it to people that at least want to give it a go on their own terms, and we'll see what comes out of that. Earl, you mentioned Jade Raymond. People may remember her as she ex-Ubisoft. I believe she was a producer on like Assassin's Creed, like 2 through Black Flag. And then she has bounced since then from studio to studio. She's leaving another one.
Shocker. Who could have predicted this?
There's a lot I don't want to touch on because, but I'm just so fascinated by this. And I tried to find it on Wikipedia. Of course, Wiki says, you know, like it kind of gives you the boiler point. But there's been a lot of projects, not necessarily studios, but like, I think at one point it was attached to like an EA Star Wars game. She's been given like high profile studios to do a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just does not come to be. And again, I don't want to like create a game. But it's just such a fascinating thing. I don't know if it's just like it's a name, or it's just like there's so something where it's like you're gonna have this creative vision, you get to do X, Y, and Z, and then she goes there, and the people don't give her what they promised. But it's fascinating because I mean, probably more recently. But I feel like I don't know the last time she shipped a game, because almost every time I see her name, it is one of two stories. She has created a studio and she's working on X, Y, and Z. She has left the studio.
Let's see here. So she was an executive person on Assassin's Creed 2. She oversaw the launch of Watch Dogs. I can't really count. It's 2015 is the last time she was listed as a actual producer. She was senior vice president of something when Star Wars Battlefront 2 shipped. It's been a while. It's been a decade since she's done anything. So
yeah, not for lack of trying. And again, I was trying to Google what studio she had to have, but I assume there's not like any, like there's probably the website that would track that is probably the type of website I don't want in my history.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she I don't know all the studios, but she left EA and she was doing something at Stadia with Google. We know how that ended up. The entire service is now gone.
Hard to blame her for that.
That's not necessarily on her. And then she founded Haven 4 years ago. And that game called Fair Games. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know. Have we seen a trailer for that?
I think we have. I think it was another one of their... Because that's the... Yeah, we did. Because that's the one with the funky dollar sign, right?
Yeah.
And there's a Twitter account. When was... Okay, so there was a CG reveal, I assume, probably at a State of Play last year. See, when is this from? Okay, so we might have just seen a CG trailer, but what is this from? According to YouTube? Oh, yeah, so May 24th... Oh, 2 years ago. May 24th, 2023. So almost 2 years since we have seen this.
One does these days.
So that one's gone now.
But yes, part of that also seems to have been a case of, and I think we talked about this a couple of months ago when it happened, is Sony seems just eager about a lot of games as services, which to be fair, Yeah, I think that's
hard to blame them for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if we covered this last week, not that anybody would be able to verify that or not. But we did cover that GTA delayed. But 2K then kind of, which is funny because they are a subsidiary of Take-Two, who is also, they're the parent company of the Grand Theft Auto people. But 2K announced that Mafia the Old Country will be coming in August. And that's coming in at a $50 price point. So, sounds
fun. Wow. That's a nice price point, but what does that mean? Is that bad? Is it bad the game costs $50 now?
Yeah, I don't know. they kind of made it seem like it's a smaller scope game. They wanted to make it very explicit that it was not as big a game as Mafia 3, which, to be fair, Mafia 3 was a standard open world game. Have you guys played Mafia 1 and 2?
I played Mafia 1. Okay. I did not play Mafia 3.
Okay, so Mafia 3 is more like 1960s Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You have this big sprawling, I think it's supposed to be New Orleans, city and like the surrounding area. Mafia 1, while there's a world, the way that game works is like there's not really a lot to do open world wise. Like you drive around the city, but there's not like a whole bunch of activities. It's more linear level-based stuff, and that seems to be what this Old Country game is going to be more like, as opposed to Mafia 3, which was more modern GTA style. I don't know. We'll see. $50. I like, if we're going to do this like variable pricing, I do think games need to be cheaper.
Yes, I think as that well. I think that was one of the conversations we had last week. Where it's like, it does seem like everybody's like favorable pricing, but it's always an expensive price or a slightly less expensive price, not like the full gamut of, yeah, some games are $20, some are $40, some are $60, some are $80. It's like some are $70, some are $80. Maybe we'll go up to $100. I'm like, yeah, well, the variable is not going down for me here.
Right. But, I mean, Mafia, pretty big series, and this is the fourth game in the series, and, just recently, we had Clair Obscur, which was it's a smaller game, I guess, in scope, but it sold 2 million plus copies, and that game also launched at $50. So I'm here for $50 games.
Yeah, it's like when that
right.
Well, remember when Assassin's Creed came out? Gosh, why can't I remember which one it was?
The one in Iraq.
Yeah, and it came out at that lower price point, and it was great. Although I don't think it sold as well as the other Assassin's Creed games. I don't know if the price point makes people like want it less.
It's not priced
like a full game.
There is some psychological thing to that where it must be like a spinoff. It must not be as expensive because it's not as much. But the other thing I was thinking too, and I don't know if this is I guess they do, because I know like MPD, for example, tends to base sales on revenue, which is fine, but in certain cases where a game is like, I think the big thing used to be like the handhelds versus consoles, where like 3DS games were like $35-$40 compared to $60 for a console. So you'd have to sell at a decent ratio to re-hit the list. So I was thinking like, oh, maybe it sold as well. It just wasn't showing up in the same way because of, but yeah. More $50, again, it sounds weird to say more $50 games. That used to be the norm, like, I guess it's like almost 20 years ago. So it has been quite a time. So I think $60 games was the 360?
Was $60 that launched with 360 and PS3, yeah.
And I think the
50 was the PS2 error.
Yeah, and I think the Wii kept the $50 thing. Mm. And I think the Wii U did too, and I think the Switch was when they went up to 60. But yeah, it's been a long time. And listen, I'm not saying that the prices, I understand why they need to go up eventually. It's just, you also just need to, I think a lot of people were just like, oh, like this is what digital games are for. These are the games that you get for $20. But even those are going up in price now.
But yeah, I'm interested to see what this this new Mafia game is. I'll probably wait for reviews, but
yeah. Although right now the calendar for fall games is pretty empty, so it might be something to play just because there's not a whole lot else coming out around it.
That could be. Yeah. It's early August, so it's like far enough away from Donkey Kong, and then far enough away from like the. There's like a bunch of games right at the end of August.
And everybody was trying to avoid GTA in the fall.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna be.
Yeah. Was there any other news, Earl, that that caught your eye?
Oh, I mean, there's a few pieces of news. I mean, we had to talk about one of the most iconic brands in all of gaming getting a movie adaptation announced this week. I think is it Sony who's working at Ubisoft on a Riders Republic game? A movie.
I was thinking when you said that, you know, I was thinking Bubble Bobble.
I think you would have thought of like 50 different things before I said. I mean, 50. This is being generous. I think even if I said Ubisoft, it'd probably take.
Yeah, that would be like the like. That would not come up. That would not be on the list at all. Like, maybe they're finally going to do a good adaptation of Assassin's Creed or Splinter Cell, or like there's a whole many options.
Heck, I think the Rabbids, because the Minions.
Oh yeah, I think they would do really well.
Yeah, Just Dance. Heck, I could see a dance movie, but yeah, Riders Republic. Which I think has one game that came out like 5 years ago. It's apparently signed to direct is the directors between Bad Boys movies. So it's not even like small potatoes. Like these guys do really good action movies. And yeah, Riders Republic. So in a less cheeky one, actually, I'm actually interested in this. The Gears of War movie. Got a director, and it's the dude behind. Wait, so let me just see if I remember this correctly. Because the Gears of War originally was a TV show, and then that got canceled, and now it's a movie.
For Netflix.
Yes. And it's David.
Leitch.
Atomic Blonde, Deadpool 2, Hobbs and Shaw, and Bullet Train. So, I mean, if nothing else, Deadpool 2 and Hobbs and Shaw, I think those two combined would make a decent Deadpool, Gears of War movie. You have the gratuitous violence in Deadpool, and you have, like, the buddy cop nature of Hobbs and Shaw with some supernatural nonsense. So that could work. Bullet Train, I was not too keen on, but that's just me. So yes, those two, so again, I assume much like anything else, we'll hear a lot of announcements about all of these video game movies. Half of them are not gonna, anything's gonna come up, I think. Kind of breaking news, it's not super important, or it's not super big news, but Nintendo just detailed what the free updates for the Switch games will entail on the Switch 2. Because there, if you remember the directive, there was three tiers of games. There was the tiers like Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Tears of the Kingdom, where it's an upgrade fee. You get, you know, 4K resolution, higher frame rate. There's the app. Then there was the other ones, which I think it was $20, which was Mario Party, Jamboree, and Kirby, which is upgrades, but also comes with new content. Then there was just the blanket. These are games that are getting updates on the Switch 2 for free, but they didn't detail what they are. And to be fair, they're not super detailed, but so stuff like arms, it says visuals optimized for the Nintendo Switch display and high resolution TV, frame rate optimization, HDR support, Big Brain Academy, 4Ks for party mode, and karaoke for video game chat. Captain Toad, very similar, HDR game chat, Clubhouse game, yada yada yada. Game Builder Garage, I think, is an interesting one because it adds support for the Joy-Con 2 mouse controls. And I'm sure you are like, oh yeah, of course, Game Builder Garage. Forgot this game existed as well. The one I'm most curious about is Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are actually getting upgrades. It's again, it says visuals optimized for Nintendo Switch display, but frame rate improved for smoother movement on Nintendo Switch 2. I've not played these. I know the big complaint with a lot of people was how the game ran. So hopefully this kind of fixes it. Granted, it's also, what, 2-3 years old now, so we'll see. But yeah, it's nice to kind of see some of that known ahead of time. And again, some of these features are nifty. If not, I don't know how often they're going to be used. But I did forget that that is an aspect of game chat. I think, if I'm reading this correctly, is that like one person can own a game and you can play it with them.
Okay, that could be fun.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's very similar in a way to, well, not into what Split Fiction, but that studio does, where one person buys the game, they can host it for the other person to play with them. So this is, again,
all of their games are, you just need one person to have bought the game, and then,
yeah, which again I think is a great feature for something so co-op heavy. It's like the fact, again, Odyssey has co-op, but does it? 3D World, that's great. And again, I think that's a great game to play with friends, but that's being added to that stuff as well. So yeah, that was just coming out of Nintendo. And again, there's a Kingdom Hearts game canceled. It's a mobile game. Yeah, same reaction.
I mean, I like Kingdom Hearts, but
yeah, I don't think anybody's like, I feel like there was a moment in time where people were just, well, not people, in the studios and publishers kind of go up on the big mobile push where like everything needed like a mobile version or mobile tie-in app. Like I feel like it's one of those things that maybe I wasn't paying attention to, but like that the golden goose that was mobile gaming has died down in a way.
Yeah. All right, well, lots of movie news. That David Leitch or whatever his name is, he also did The Fall Guy, which was last year.
Oh, right, that was
fun.
That wasn't last year, though, was it?
Yeah, last year.
You know what, I'm getting it confused with, what's that terrible movie with Ryan Reynolds? I know that does not narrow it down.
Green Lantern.
No.
The gaming one?
Yes.
Oh, I know when you're talking about. Is it Fall Guy? No.
No, that's the one I was confusing it with. That's why.
Free guy. Free guy. Okay. There you go.
Okay. That's what I'm like. That was in last year, but yes. Okay. In my head, I had Free Guy. I'm like, oh, he did the terrible Ryan Reynolds movie.
No. Fall Guy was the Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, which is a good movie.
Yeah, that was fun.
A bit too long.
As many movies are.
Yes. Oh, yes. Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra was delayed to next year.
That saddened me. I was hoping that was coming out this year.
Yeah, I was hoping for a fun action game.
I forgot it was coming out this year.
I have a tracking spreadsheet of the games I want, and this is on. So. It's hard to forget when you have it written down.
Fair enough, but yeah, that is next year. Yeah, and I think that's really, I mean, I'll look around, but I think those were the big ticket items this week.
What is the rest of the year look like game release wise?
Well, I mean, we got what, Ghost of Yote, Metroid Prime 4, Pokemon Legends ZR, the Gears of War remake. I guess a lot of those are potentially summer.
Yeah, Gears is at the Gears, Metal Gear Solid, Delta. They're all at the end of August.
Oh, we never mentioned EA made a bunch of like weird announcements about their stuff.
Oh, right. They are, yeah, forcing people back into the office. I guess they're doing hybrid. I guess they were fully remote, and it seems like they're trying to get people to quit on their own, which is always a scummy move. I guess you don't have to pay severance.
Yeah, the easiest way to do that is be like, you have to come back in the office.
Yeah, just be a scummy old EA. It was funny, though, that I saw somebody talking about it on one of the shows. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I think this is a terrible... Oh, but it's an EA. Like, their reputation can't get worse.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Borderlands 4 is out this year.
Yes.
That's another end of the year. The Marvel Cosmic Invasion, I'm looking forward to. No, that's
yep, that's on my game. List. Yep.
That's
which one was me. Was that the arcadey one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's by the
Turtles guys.
Turtles guys. Yes.
Yeah.
That does look fun.
Yeah. So that's on my list. But yes,
Outer Worlds 2.
Yeah, that's supposed to be this year. I mean, hopefully we'll hear more about it in June.
Yeah.
When the Xbox showcases. Yeah, because you're right, Tony. Like normally by now, like, you know, the year starts filling up, but
yeah,
there for October, Yahoo has 1, 2, 3, 8 games for October. One of them doesn't have a date.
Like, November, I mean, there are some you can assume. Like, I don't know the date for, like, NBA 2K. Well, that's coming out this fall. There'll be... Madden might actually have a date. There'll be an NHL... Like, there'll be games.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, like, I think Pokemon will be started into November at some point. I could see... I think there's still one... No, Fable's not this year. What is Microsoft's game? In the
Fable back? Got delayed to 2026.
Okay.
Outer Worlds 2 would be their other big game.
I mean, Doom's out. I guess Doom is out now.
Yeah, Doom just came out. We'll talk about that shortly.
Arkham Sack'em Robots.
Gears is end of August. They got some stuff left, but
yeah, I think I mean, really, the only person. I mean, not the only person. Is Sony, and I always feel like we said this, has a quiet back half of the year? Do they have anything? I mean, I guess the Elden Ring.
Just Ghost of Yotai, as far as I know.
Yeah. Elden Ring Night Rain is sometime this year, right?
It's next week.
Oh, okay. So that is, it is sometime this year.
yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Actually, it's two weeks. It's the 30th. I thought it was the 23rd, but it's the 30th.
I've also just been ignoring the rest of May. It feels very fast and very slow at the same time. I mean, Hollow Knight Silk Song is any moment now. Any moment now.
They did say it's coming this year, I believe. But they've been saying that for like
I don't believe anything until it shows up. Is it? Yeah, it's weird. I mean, not weird, but it feels like it might end up being that the first half of this year is going to define this. It's going to make it a really good year. But it feels like it might be the first 5 months of the year. I'm like, yeah, 2025 is a great year for video games until, you know, we all had games to still play. There's a new Professor Layton game at some point this year. Yeah.
Stellar Blade is coming to PC.
I feel like a lot of games. Yeah, I don't. I'm even looking at the stuff that's like not dated and nothing kind of sticks out. It's like, oh yeah, that is a big game. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we got Summer Game Fest in, what, 3 weeks? So hopefully a bunch of stuff gets announced or dated then.
I think the Microsoft showcase is the 8th or 9th. So it's after the Switch 2 comes out.
Yeah, Summer Game Fest is the 6th. So Switch is the Thursday. Summer Game Fest is the Friday. I'd assume Microsoft is probably that Sunday, but let's just check.
I thought they had just announced.
Yeah,
Sunday, I thought it was Sunday, but...
Yeah, Sunday, June 8th at 1 p.m. Also, kudos to Microsoft, who understands the game. Like, give me stuff over the weekend so I don't have to pretend to work.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have missed so much gaming content because it happens, like, while I'm in a meeting.
Yeah.
It sucks. Don't do that to us.
And it's only
you used to miss E3 all the time because
every time because my conference was during E3.
Yeah. So if they did it on a Sunday, at least you'd be able to catch some of it.
Well, no, because my conferences normally go Sunday to whatever. Ah, so
you would still miss this piece of
yes.
It. But yeah, but I enjoyed that except for that 1 year. With the way, I mean, for us, it wasn't that. I mean, it was kind of weird, but the people inside said it was weirder. The one when they had people like come and watch the circus, and like had them in like the rain ponchos.
For Microsoft?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which I remember hearing about that and seeing them in the crowd, but I don't remember exactly what year that was.
It's like 2010. No, 2010 would have been Kinect, right? So it might have been like 2012. There was some, I think at some point E3 was using its cluster and people, because it was like that year, Sony did like that conference, like the first 10 minutes was like a concert from Days Gone, or that's, I forgot which one, but they had somebody playing like a banjo.
That sounds like that was The Last of Us Part 2. Because that's how that game starts.
Okay, that's I just remember being, because that was back when they did it in the movie theaters, and just being in the movie theaters, and I was like, what the hell's going on?
That was a whole weird presentation, too, because I think they showed 4 different games.
Yes, and each one was like a presentation, like a showcase. Yeah. So maybe we'll do that in a few weeks. It's just like weirdest or most surreal E3 moments of all time.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like something fun to kind of like look back on.
Because me and my friend still quote the Konami, is it 2010 press conference? You will be sucked. XXSYYY. Oh, that was such an utter train wreck of a conference. It's so good, though.
Mr. Caffeine.
Yes.
The Ubisoft one. There was the awkward Pele interaction at the EA FIFA thing. He didn't seem to know why he was there.
Yes.
I don't think anyone did.
Anytime Joe McHale hosted Ubisoft until they got Aisha Tillion, she was great.
She was very good, yes.
Yes, but some really good and cringe times.
We'll look back on that as we get closer to not E3, Summer Games Fest in a few weeks. But we played some games. Well, I played some games. I hope you guys did too. Otherwise, sad week for you. But did you guys play anything?
So on the show last week, since Jeff's not here, I don't have to confess to him. So I promised I would play Expedition
33. Mm-hmm.
I did not. Because I was like looking for something to play on my console. Because I downloaded Player Obscura to my PC.
Okay.
So, and I didn't have a console game I was playing. Like, okay, I'm going to download something in my console, and I'm looking at my Game Pass list. I'm like, well, I It's been so long since I played GTA 5, I barely remember it. So, and of course, it just came out on Game Pass. I'm like, all right, fine, we'll give it a shot. I haven't played anything else since then. Guys, GTA is really good. It's like a breath of fresh air. Like I was looking for something to like be completely different from all the other games I had been playing. I had been playing like open world, like Assassin's Creed games and whatnot.
I was gonna say that's not different than other games you've been playing.
Except in those games, you're kind of like you're a paragon of society. You're trying to make things better for everybody else. There are like you can't hurt civilians, like all that stuff. And then of course, in the first 5 minutes of Grand Theft Auto, I'm like I'm running over some poor pedestrian, and all you see is like the blood splattering, and like, oh, I'm back. GTA's back. Yeah, and the fact is, like, I played the game when it came out, and I think there was like a stretch where I played some GTA Online in like 2016, but I really haven't played the game, the actual campaign, since then. So it's been a long time. So I don't like I remember parts of the story, but I don't remember all the crazy stuff that happens. And that game is not tame at all, and it really starts you off by doing some really, really wacko stuff. Like trying to hijack a boat on the highway while it's like hitched on a trailer, and like the it's cool. It's so much fun. And I remember though really souring on the game once it gets farther and farther into Trevor's story, because Trevor's so unlikable. I don't know. I'm trying to embrace it and kind of like put that part aside and like try to enjoy all the other parts of the game. But God, it plays so well. Like everything in that game is great except for having to sprint by pressing A over and over and over again. It's one thing that annoys me.
I still don't get why they put that in the design.
I don't get it. It's not great game design. One thing I had forgotten was that your characters like level up like it's an RPG when they do stuff. This is completely gone from my brain. Like if you're doing cool stuff while you're driving, your character's driving level will go up.
Oh right. If you get better and you start off pretty shitty.
Yeah, it depends on the character. Like Michael's really good at shooting people. Snoop Dogg, I can't remember his Franklin, yes. Franklin is not. Franklin's gunnery is terrible. But you can literally go to like the gunnery range and like practice with the weapons and get better. and you can see when you're like switching weapons in combat, like the effect of leveling up has on the damage and the accuracy of the individual weapons. And I like it kind of has that Skyrim-esque leveling where you learn by doing. So yeah. Like if you spend a lot of time, and I, you know, spent a lot of time sprinting by pressing the A button a lot because I hate it, but I make myself do it anyway. Your characters like get better at running. And you like level up. It's I don't know. It's there are so many pieces to this game too. Like yeah. I forget how expansive it is, and how they've like tried to like model an entire society within this whole game. It's just it's crazy, and it looks awesome on the Series X too. I remember it looking good when it came out, but there's no way it looked like this. So.
I think it's we forget that GTA 5 originally came out on the 360
on the 360, right? That game was ancient, and yeah, they have made it look like it was a game that was meant to come out for Series X, and like it's been so long since I had that original experience that it's like playing a brand new game.
Fun.
So, I am really, really enjoying it. I think I'm probably going to stick with it through to the end, but we'll see. No promises, but I don't see a whole lot of games coming out that I'm particularly interested in. So
you gonna play any of the online?
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get some people together, play some GTA Online. Why not? Give it a shot. The other cool thing is if you're playing from the Xbox Series X version, new achievements. You can get all the achievements over again.
Okay, so yeah,
I don't know if that tempts you, Chris, but
the enhanced edition. I did look today, our buddy Walt is playing. He's playing on PC. And I was like, oh, there's achievements for it on PC. And then I was like,
yeah,
that's a lot of achievements that it has. There's like 77 achievements on that game. And I'm like, that's a lot. I don't know how much I want to play.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is like the achievements in that game are hard to get.
Yeah.
it takes a lot of effort.
I think I'm more in line with you where it's like, if I do want to play it, I think I want to play the campaign and play through that piece. Like, the online seems fun if you have some people to play with, but I don't want to get engaged with that piece.
Right. I don't see myself like regularly getting together to the place of GTA Online. It's not, but I'll do it a couple times. Certainly.
So I'll get together to play this 13-year-old game.
Yeah. Which it doesn't feel like a 13-year-old game. It just feels so fresh and so new. So definitely worth going back to if you haven't played it in a while.
Kind of makes me excited for six. Like,
well, that was the other thing. It was like all our talk about GTA last week, and I was like, I kind of want to play GTA. Wish I had that in my life again. Oh wait, I do.
There you go. Earl, you get to play anything this past week?
Nothing new. I went old school this week, and I realized that I still don't like certain games. So not famously, but I've never been a big fan of the Donkey Kong Country games. But I think I've mostly tried one over and over again. So I was trying to find a game yesterday. I'm like, you know what? Let me try two. And I think two is slightly better. I think Diddy and Dixie are a better combination. But it's just one of those things. My brain cannot wrap my head around the way the characters move in that game. I am just so accustomed to Mario or Sonic and their momentum-based movement. And it's not that they don't have momentum. It's just a very different type of momentum. And
they're lumbering.
Yes. And it's either that or they're very kind of, or they will go. Like, I think Mario and Sonic have to start. Like, if you press, like, I don't know what, I guess not the dash button exactly, but you press it, Diddy rolls. He does like a cartwheel and Dixie rolls. And I think Donkey Kong would roll if you, and you press it and they do it right away. So, like, I would press it thinking like, oh, you know, like in Mario games, you'd hold down the run button to get momentum. It's like, no, they're going to go. And I've fallen off so many edges because I'm like, oh, no, they're going to go and not starting up and stuff like that. And just, again, I think there's some good platform. I just can't wrap my head around how it works. I will play some more, but I am not great at this game. I'm going to be honest with you. And then, I mean, this was kind of covered in news. Well, wasn't covered in news. But I guess really quickly, Killer Instinct Gold, which is a Killer Instinct on the N64, was added to NSO today. And I just gave that a shout for a bit. And one, still terrible at fighting games. So got that going for me.
Two, yeah.
They really need to do better at, I understand what they mean, but like I was trying the tutorial just to see the button they had it. I'm like, they're like, okay, you got to press FP. I'm like, that's not a button. I know it stands for forward punch or front punch, but that's not a button. Tell me what button I need to press. I understand that each character might have it slightly different or something, but like, if you don't tell me the button and you give me it, then you give me 9 seconds to figure it out. I'm like, none of it is doing this, so. Not great at that game so far. I'm going to try it a bit more because I do remember enjoying Killer Instinct. But it's not great at it right now.
I agree with you that it should just be like, you know, A is punch, B is, you know, A is high punch, B is low punch or whatever.
Yeah.
But with this forward punch or not, like, is it dependent upon how you're facing?
Well, that's the thing. It shouldn't be dependent on that.
I agree. I'm just wondering if it is dependent upon that.
Like, I know, is Mortal Kombat, is it Mortal Kombat? I mean, I think all fighting games do that, like, where, like, directions would be reversed. So that's why they tend to tell you, like, forward, back, and not, like, press right, right, left, left. Right. And, like, that makes sense in a 2D game. But your punching should still be a punch no matter what direction you're facing. Just a button.
If I press the A button, it should be a right punch, or B button, it's left punch, or whatever.
Yes. So that is something that I will look into more. Again, like I said, I do wanna experience it a bit more, play around with it a bit more, because I think I enjoyed the one on Super Nintendo. Again, it's been forever, and I don't think I've ever played the one on the 360.
Yeah, the new Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
No, it was a Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
That's part of Game Pass, so. Game Pass right now, but if you get it again, it's there. It's a ton of content. Yeah, they supported that game for a very long time.
And I do want to get Game Pass, because as I was telling my friend yesterday, because you were trying to pick a game, and I'm like, it's such a weird thing, because like, you don't realize how much you depend on Game Pass until you don't have it. And then I think on my system, there are 4 games that I have access to that are not on Game Pass that I can play right now. I'm like, oh, this is so weird. So I need to get it back. I just need to, I've just been lazy because I don't want to spend full price, but I'm probably just going to have to bite the bullet on that soon. So I do want to get back to South of Midnight. I'm really enjoying that, and I don't want to get far enough away that I just kind of forget about it. And then I, you know, everybody's been talking about Kira Expedition, and I do want to try that out. And I do think, you know, and I do want to try Doom. I think we're at a really sweet spot, because I do think, you know, I will start to transition to the Switch 2 in a couple of weeks, which is part of the reason I've been playing around with my Switch more. It's just like, let me actually use this somewhat. And I use my Switch, but again, mostly it's for like Cross and stuff like that recently, because it's been a relatively quiet year for Nintendo, at least, you know, for releases. I mean, and it makes sense because of what happens next month. But even third party, I don't think there's a ton of third party games coming like and dating the system. But yeah, and at some point, I should remember I own a PlayStation 5 that has a fully paid online subscription and games I have.
No.
I mean, talking about these two systems, like, oh, there's a third one that has everything. Like, it has the thing I'm missing from the Xbox and the thing I'm missing from the Switch, but it just kind of sits there, staring me in the face.
But do you have like the middle tier, the high tier for?
I have, they always tear. But it, I mean,
games with that.
But. Yeah, but especially a lot of them. Like, even when I didn't have a PS5, if you still like my. I had a PS4, but you could still claim the games that were on that lower tier, because you could it's just on the app. You couldn't download it, but you could always claim them. So I have access to those as well. But even aside from that, I still have RoboCop that I need to finish. I have Spider-Man 2 I was thinking about yesterday. I've not even started yet. Helldivers had an update this week that I want to go and actually try Helldivers. It's the whole reason I bought the damn system for. So... Like, I can't even say anything. It's not even like my Xbox is my Blu-ray player. So I'm like, I don't even know. I bought it because I need to use it. That's going to be my quest soon. It's just like use my PlayStation.
So it's a good idea to use the technology you bought.
We just need to add a segment to the show. Earl, what have you done with your PlayStation this week? we can shame you.
It's gonna like start making stuff up, like, well, I put flowers around it this week.
I dusted it every week. It's just gonna be like, I got a new face paint just so I could, you know, touch it and see what it does. It still turns on, I think.
You mentioned Doom, which released today. I've not played a lot of it, but I did play the tutorial level. So a couple things, instantly, there's way more story in this than I ever remember in any Doom game prior. Like, there's like a full-on like 4 or 5 minute cutscene to start this game. Very weird. It's also called Doom the Dark Ages. And all the imagery is like the Doom guy with like a shield and that's what all the imagery in the game is. Like it's taking place in castles and you know, the people you're fighting alongside, because there are actual people this time. Normally in Doom games, like, there are no people. You're fighting along, like, people dressed in armor. But they also all have guns? I don't know what's going on here. But the game's fun. Like, once it starts playing, the Doom guy has a shield. You can lock on to people, and then there's like, I think you press like right trigger or something, and it does like a shield bash, like you'll rush the enemy, and it can be from pretty far across, and you'll fly in, and then a big explosion, and any like lower tier enemies will all explode when you do that. And there's like a slight recharge on it, but it's not too long. Like you can kind of spam that. The Doom guy, he instantly starts off with like a double-barreled shotgun, which is kind of fun. Like, I mean, it's, if you've played New Doom, it's that weapon. And it's Doom. Like, you're going around, you're getting keys to unlock areas, and like, oh, you need to get the blue key to advance here. With the shield, though, they have added in some like interesting mechanics, like red shots at you. The way it's set up right now, like red shots at you can only block, and you can't just stand there and like block. Like, eventually you'll lose stamina or something and the shield will drop, so you kind of have to like use it strategically and move around. But there's also green shots from enemies, and those shots you can parry back with a properly timed, like, you pull your shield up, and if you do that, it'll shoot the energy or the punch or whatever the green attack was from the enemies back at the enemy and do big damage towards them. So it's a neat, like, it's like a neat addition to the game. Just that story stuff is like really strange. I'm not sure why there's so much fucking story in this Doom game.
Yeah. You have to learn the lore. I mean, Doom is all about the lore. It always has been.
Like, I know that the new Doom games have had more story. Like, the Doom 2016, there was, you know, a little bit more story in that, but not a ton. Like, I think there is more story in the start of Doom the Dark Ages than there is in the entirety of 2016.
Oh, no.
It's just really weird.
I can't wait for Jeff to talk about it. He's going to hate that.
Yeah, he's going to be... He seems to be liking the game from what he told me. But yeah, I'm being arrested. It's like, I have a feeling he's probably just got up and walked away and came back. Right.
He's just like, skip.
Yeah. Oh, that's something I... like. Well, I'm not like one to skip cutscenes because like I kind of want to know what's going on. Jeff doesn't have any issue with that, I guess. So... yeah, be interested to see where he comes in at it. It's very weird that there's so much story in this game. Looks great, plays great, the shield is neat, setting is super weird, but and it's on Game Pass, so if you like Doom, go give it a try. Earl, did you play A Way Out?
Yes, I have.
I finished that with a buddy of mine.
What did you think?
I didn't love it. I think it's better in the front half.
Yes, that is true. I think it's better. It needed to be more of the prison breakout and less of what happens after you get out of prison.
That was kind of funny. It's like the prison break is like the first... There's six chapters. It's the prison break is the first chapter of the game.
And I don't... I even the stuff like where they're on the run... It's the stuff where it kind of becomes a shootout game, where this is not made for that. But I did enjoy the characters. I do enjoy the setting. I do enjoy the twist. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very novel. Have Tony played?
No.
Are you going to play?
Probably not.
I do like, okay, so spoilers for A Way Out, a game like 10 years, more than 10 years old, I think. But I do like that the final thing is you're playing together with a friend. And the final thing is where you wonder if you have to kill the other one.
Like it pits the two of you against each other.
Yes. And it's so slow and dramatic, though. But I do like that the lead up to that, because it is kind of a game of skill. Because I played through it twice. The second time, I'm a much better shot than my friend is. So during the shoot, I did a lot more damage to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the advantage going into the final fight. But, you know, we also just kind of, you can just go back and reload the chapter because you have to do both endings to get the achievement. But, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the dynamic. I enjoyed their characters. But the parts where, like, you're on the back of a motorcycle or back of a truck, and you're trying to shoot, and you don't know where you're being shot from, and it does that thing, which is very popular back then, where, like, they're constantly talking through all of this. I'm just like, okay, no, this isn't as fun. I like the stuff where, like I said, them breaking out of prison, like, them having to find, like, you know, distract the guard to get a tool or talk to people. That stuff is neat. I think the same thing with when they go to the convenience store. And then there's parts where it's like, oh, we have to be a video game where, like, there's the one where you have to chase the dude in the warehouse. Like, this isn't great. I like, you know, meeting the wife and kids, I think was fun. So there's really great moments sprinkled throughout. And I really adore the game, but there are moments where it's like, oh, you got to be a video game. You're not a very good video game in that.
Yeah, I like the narrative aspects of it as well. It was the parts where you have to kind of... It's not even the parts where you have to play, it's the parts where you're playing the video game stuff.
Yeah, it's like, we gotta be a real shoot. Like, people want action. It's like, yeah, but this isn't what your strong suit is.
And it's... I mean, I'm playing these ass backwards. Like, my friend and I, the first game from them that we played was Split Fiction.
And you paid It Takes Two.
And that, well, we're going to play It Takes Two next, actually.
Oh, so it's not even to you at most recent first move.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, well, let's play this other one, because we just had done, like, Split Fiction is a lot of platforming, and I figured A Way Out wasn't that. It's not. There's, like, a little bit of platforming, and it's bad. But in Split Fiction, it's like, I think all that stuff is very refined. It's all very well done, and it all plays way better than A Way Out does. So it's hard going back to it, being like, oh, this is what they came from, and you can see the kind of the seeds that they planted for. I assume for what It Takes Two does, and then for what Split Fiction does, but. Yeah, the back half of that, there's lots of shootouts. The shooting isn't good. There's a lot of, like, stuff in a car or, like, in the back of a Jeep, and all that stuff, I think, isn't particularly great.
Right, there's also the thing with, like, the sniper in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But again, I remember the bad parts, but I remember, because I think I played through it twice with two different friends, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoy it more than, I mean, I think It Takes Two has better gameplay sections. I don't like the main character of It Takes Two, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts when you play that game.
I actually did like the characters in A Way Out, like, up until maybe the end.
Yeah,
it's not even that you don't like them. It's just that, like, the reveal, maybe not shocking, but it's like, well, that kind of sucks because of the guy I'm playing.
Because it's like, oh, they're actually becoming friends, and I actually do like their budding friendship, and oh, this is not going to end pretty at all, and it does not for one of you both times.
So you did you get two different, like, so we played it, we only played it once. I played as Leo, the more impulsive and brash criminal of the two, and I died at the end of mine. He just, my friend had a little more. Is there two different endings? Like, can Leo die and then the other guy die as well?
Yes. Well, okay. one of them has to die.
Yeah, no, I know that. I just didn't know if, because like the ending we got obviously was, you know,
the one that
his buddy goes and visits Leo's wife and kid and to tell them the news that he's dead.
So the reverse is then you're reunited with your family, and I think you go because he has a pregnant girlfriend. I want to say,
yeah,
or yes,
wife. I think actually.
Okay, so they're both married. But yes, you go and yeah. So that's why I said you can reload that save file and pretty much start from that fight and just have your character win now and just see that ending, and that would also count.
Other thing that I liked about it, and I like this about Split Fiction too, and I'll be interested to see how it takes two approaches. The achievements are wild. Like, you can play through that entire game and not earn any.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, because like none of them are tied to progression. None of, like, you have to go out of your way to do like weird shit.
You talk about that. I'm like, oh. Like when the farmhouse you go to, mm-hmm. and I think like one of the achievements is like pretty much like poking around all of their rooms, finding stuff.
There's a hidden room or something you have to find. That's an achievement.
Yeah, then there's like random, like there's like I think you could play basketball with his son. Mm-hmm. There's like a random baseball thing. I think table tennis. There's a lot of random achievements in that. And
one we had to go back for, because we actually did what we're supposed to, but we did it backwards. Like, we just didn't know. When you go into the farmhouse, there is a banjo and a piano. And my friend picked up the banjo, and I like played the piano. It brings up this like very rudimentary music rhythm game for both of you. And there's an achievement for playing 15 notes each without falling, but it's very specific. Like, Leo has to be playing the banjo, the other guy has to be playing the piano, and I didn't learn that until after the fact, so we went back and kind of like redid a bunch of the achievements to get them. But fun, interesting way of doing achievements.
Okay, so I've just supported up for Tony. Like, I think the one he's talking about is NSYNC, Music Was Played in Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
You linked up to no cheating, you expose some infidelity.
That one's fun. You get into this trailer park and you can go and you talk to, there's like a lady just sitting out front. She's holding a baseball bat, like pounding it in her hand. If you go talk to her, she tells you that she's waiting for her no good husband to come home. But if you walk around the block to another trailer, you'll hear like sex noises going on.
Oh no.
And if you knock on the door, he'll come out, and like she's in the back, her legs are up in the air, and she's like begging him to come back inside, and he's like, what do you want? And if you go tell her, she'll then walk over with the bat, and you can hear beating him up with the bat. But you wouldn't know, like, it's just not something you would even think to do unless you're really kind of like poking around at the edges of the game.
Yeah, it's a fun. It's a fun game, but I also think it's a really good in the sense that it has a narrative that doesn't take itself too seriously, and it works for video games. Because I think sometimes we are all. Video games are art, so we need these very deep and emotional. Right? Yeah, this has its moments, but it's also two guys breaking out of prison. There's like one, like you have to like, you're in the woods and you have to like hunt fish, and the fish are just like you basically have to like corner them. Like you're going in opposite circles, so like one person is poking with a stick. Like, yeah, this is really stupid. Two guys who's fresh out of prison trying to catch a fish and doing terribly at it. Like the Troy Park,
it's a lot of teamwork. Like,
Yeah,
you really got to learn how to work with the other person.
And that's one of the things I love about their games is that they are true co-op experiences. They are very much like you can't like, I'm just going to go do this and whatever, or okay, one person's really good, so they'll take control or something. It's like, no, you have to work together. The thing I would think of that's similar but is a bit more annoying to me is the Gears of War campaigns,
mm-hmm.
Where they would switch you off at times, and it would sometimes be like, okay, I have a sniper, I need to cover you as you're making your way through this hallway, and if you don't, it's an instant death for both of you. So it forces you to, like, you have to pace yourself, you have to maintain. And I understand why a lot of games won't do that, because it can be very frustrating and very limited, but I like that they do this, because it is very much a, you need to work together. It's two of you in this game. So get your shit together, you need to communicate.
And nothing's more evident than that, like, really early on, when, you know, you become friends enough that you're both going to break out of jail. And you're not in the same cell, you're in adjacent cells. And so you're both kind of like making your escape. You're doing the prep work for it. And it requires you to, like, you know, you're using like a screwdriver or a chisel or something to kind of chisel away at the toilet, behind the toilet.
Yes.
But when you're doing that, you have no visibility on anything around you. So you're relying on your partner to kind of keep watch and tell you when to stop. Like, it's just kind of fun. Like, my friend's going, all right, he's coming down. You can, like, get one or two more hits in and then stop, put it back.
Yes, and it's, like, it's also one of those things where it's not just, like, oh, he's in front of my cell. You have to give them a heads up, because you have to go through the whole animation of putting the toilet back and everything, so you need a lead up time. Yes, and I like parts like that. The part I thought you were going to talk about, partially because I also just watched, well, not just watched, Thunderbolts, is the part when you're trying to climb up the elevator shaft, and that is one where...
Oh, yeah, that one's good, too.
Because you have to be in sync or close enough, because, like, one person can't just press the button too fast, it's just going to fall over. There's a lot of parts where you have to work together really, really in unison and communicate. I think that's the key too, because, like, the shoot off segments, like, one person shooting, one person driving, you don't necessarily need to communicate as much.
Right.
But the times when you do need to communicate is like you really need to communicate.
So you're planning on, it's like timing. Like, I need, all right, like, we're 1, 2, 3. It's like, all right, I'm gonna go on 1 and 2. You go on 3 and 4, and just count back and forth. And it's some neat stuff. I'll be interested. We're gonna start It Takes Two, I think, this weekend. I've heard the same complaint, Earl, that you just gave about it, that the characters and that kind of suck. But we'll see. One other thing that I played before we wrap this up. I started the Oblivion remake. Well, I started Oblivion on 360 as well.
I kind of like both Oblivions at the same time.
Yeah, kind of. Bounce, like, I'm playing Oblivion, the remaster on my PC, and Oblivion, the 360 version on the Xbox. And the remaster looks phenomenal. Like, when you compare it directly to the 360 version, like, it is just way better looking. Experience exactly what you did, Tony, where it's like, this world is very empty.
It is. Like, where is everything?
Like, because, so it doesn't happen very early, but you will eventually end up in, like, a city up north. It's not a very big city, but there's like 8 people in it. Like, total.
Yeah.
It's like, there's all these houses but there's just, the city is dead. And yeah, that extends to when you get to the capital, which is like, it's kind of the big centerpiece of this whole map, is this like huge citadel in the middle that you could see from just about any high vantage point around the map. And once you get in there, it's like a really neat city. There's all sorts of shops and inns and monuments and stuff, but each of the areas only has like 6 to 8 people in it. It's like this town is dead, and like compared to Skyrim, which you were saying,
which is also a 360 game.
Yeah,
and crazy.
Like, to be fair, like Skyrim also, like compared to games that are coming out now, doesn't have the amount of people in it, but it just seems way more lively. And even that opening little town, like River Run or whatever it is, like the opening town in Skyrim that you go to, it's not even the city. Like River Run has more people in it than the capital of Cyrodiil. Like, it's kind of wild, just nutty. But gameplay wise, it's fun. Like, it's fun to kind of like explore, and the writing is really good. Just, it's kind of dead. There's more combat, it seems, in the remaster, or at least I'm running into more combat. Which I don't know how they would have like ramped that up, but it's neat. I think it's a good game. I'll be really interested to see how Elder Scrolls 6 turns out, because games have just kind of passed by what Oblivion is now. But it's fun. It looks good. I'll continue to poke at it for a bit. Like, it's just, I think it's going to be like one of those things where when we're in between games, I'll put some time into
it.
Yeah. Jeff has played 45 hours of it at this point. He has fallen deep into the Oblivion hole, which I find crazy, because I don't think the gameplay is particularly great. Like, the melee combat is bad. It wasn't great in Skyrim either. It's just a little bit improved there. But it's just funny to watch, like, Jeff, like, who is very gameplay focused over the recent years. What's really the draw of Oblivion, I think, is the quest writing and the character interactions you have. I came across this little town where everybody was invisible. Like, you walk into this inn, and the innkeeper's like, "Hey, this town looks abandoned. That's because we're all invisible, because this fucking wizard down the hill, we think he fucked some shit up, and we haven't seen him. We haven't seen anybody in weeks because we're all fucking invisible. but could you help us?" So, like, you go down the hill to this like little ruined area, and there's this cranky old like Gargamel type dude, and if you talk to him, he goes, "Oh, that was why they were all so angry with me. It's like, I was wondering why they were all miserable the last time I was up and down. It's because I turned them all invisible and they don't like it." So he like gives you a spell to go, like a reversing spell. He goes, "Stand in the middle of town and you can make everybody come back." Just like dumb stuff like that. There's no impact on the world outside of like, there's an inn, and now because you made everybody visible again, you never have to pay to sleep in that inn. But just like a neat little side quest that just, it's like, oh, that's cool. That's a cool little story. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. I believe we're going to do Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Is that the one we're watching?
Yay. Earl? Yes.
Earl's so
excited.
Earl. Earl,
I can't not be excited because it's my project. I just know what. Maybe I won't hate it this time. Who knows?
I feel really confident going into this one. I have not seen Annihilation in. When did that come out? 97. I have not seen it since then. So I'm a little scared.
It's not good. It's not good. Be afraid.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Annihilation. What were you gonna say, Earl?
I was gonna say, it gets better eventually. I think it starts.
Oh, the movies. The movies we're gonna watch.
Yes, I do think we're in for a very dry period because I think after Mortal Kombat, I want to say it's Wing Commander.
My memory of that one is that that's not good either.
I think my memory of that one is like, wait, Wing Commander the movie? I think it stars Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. and his buddy that's always with him, the guy who played Shaggy.
Yeah, that's Matthew Lillard, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So yes. But Mortal Kombat Annihilation first, yay! I guess real quick, it is news. It's not news. Mortal Kombat 1 Definitive Edition is coming out soon, and people are upset. I guess because that means that the Mortal Kombat DLC or support has ended after what 20 months or something like that.
Yeah, not even 2 years, right? Almost 2.
So people are upset about that. People are upset
Mortal
about
One Combat.
Yeah.
I'm not upset about that because that means by the end of the year, be able to get the whole thing rather cheap.
Yeah, but I don't know. But anyhow, wrap it up.
Yeah. on you just quickly following up on that. Maybe that means that NetherRealm is working on a
Injustice or another Mortal Kombat.
Be nice to get in Injustice. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Tony's gonna play some more GTA.
Absolutely, I will / am.
Joel's going to continue to ignore his PlayStation 5.
I'm going to turn it on tonight.
And Jeff and I will play more Doom. So we'll have some stuff for you next week. And we're quickly approaching the Switch 2.
Can I ask? And I know I'm the one who's saying, like, what are your hype levels, anticipation for the Switch 2? I know we're all getting it, but I was talking to somebody today, and like it doesn't feel like it's out in 3 weeks.
I think if there were more games, I'd
be more excited for it. It's just hard to get super excited for a system that doesn't seem to have a ton of games.
It has a ton of games, but it's a ton of new games. I think it's the problem. Because if you were to look at their launch lineup in a vacuum, it's pretty decent. If you were to look at their launch lineup and take away anything that's a port of, not even like if it's a this year port, I wouldn't mind anything that's more than like it's a like came out last year and beyond. There's Mario Kart and I think there's Deltarune and then the Welcome Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is like a port or an upgrade. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Question for you guys on that. What is like some Mario Kart? Obviously that's the big game. Like, is there a second game that you guys are excited for the Switch 2?
For the Switch 2,
I mean, I'll play Donkey Kong cause it exists.
And that's in July.
Yes, Switch 2, yes. Switch 2 on China, not so much. Because again, the rest of the year, Donkey Kong, I'm excited for. I'm a huge fan of Hyrule Warriors, so I will get that. Metroid Prime 4 will probably be a Switch 2 purchase for me. I really enjoyed the first Pokemon Legends game. I have not gotten a Mario Party Jamboree yet, so I probably picked that up on the Switch 2 as well. So there are games like that. I want to see more because I'm hoping there's more to Dragon Drive or whatever that wheelchair basketball game is. Like right now, it looks too sterile. I don't mind the gimmicky idea. I like arms, but it needs a personality attached to it. And I'm sure there are odds and end games that we'll hear about. But that's for 5 or 6 games that I'm interested in this year. But that's why originally I wanted to get it. I was going to get it in the holiday season. Mm-hmm. My fear is, and this has come out from both Nintendo and Sony this week, where they're like, hey, we don't know what's going on with these tariffs. We might have to raise these prices soon.
Yes, that's why I'm happy that we all got it now.
Yes.
Okay. So no other launch games for you guys, though? Just
Mario Kart.
Let's see. What are the actual launch titles? I guess that will be a good starting point.
Let's see. I can read them off. What is on Wikipedia here? Ridge Racer.
Ridge Racer.
Not a new Ridge Racer.
I was gonna say it's not a new one.
It's the 1993 arcade game. That's somehow a Switch 2 launch game. Bravely Default Flying Fairy, which is the HD remaster of the 2012 3DS game. Civ 7. Cyberpunk 2077. Earl, you mentioned Deltarune. That's not one. Fast Fusion. Fortnite. Hitman. World of Assassination, Hogwarts Legacy, Kanutsugami, Path of the Goddess, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, Mario Kart.
Okay, I will
Switch
say,
World this, Tour.
This is probably I'm kind of intrigued by Survival Kids. I think just because we'll see how that goes.
Okay, yep, Survival Kids, yep.
Yeah,
everything else is like games that are already out, like Sonic X Shadow Generation, Split Fiction, yeah. Rune Factory, Poo Poo Tetris.
Yes, again, I will probably get it. I'll play Mario Kart. I will probably, I have nothing else to play. I will get Welcome Tour. I would go on, I will go on a GameCube to try it out. I won't do Wind Waker because I have Wind Waker, but it's like a 50-hour game. I would try Soul Calibur, and I would try F-Zero. I think I would also go, it's opening week. I think opening weekend will be, like I said, there's a bunch of Switch games getting upgrades and stuff like that. I think there's a novelty in checking those games out. But yeah, we shall see.
That's what we should do, Earl. We should all get together with our Switch 2s and play Soul Calibur 2 and F-Zero.
The games we were all waiting for.
Let's play some GameCube games over the Switch 2. And obviously some Mario Kart. We should definitely play that. All right. Well, I'm still excited for the Switch 2. So, fun to have new hardware.
Definitely excited for it, but give me some games first.
How far out is Donkey Kong middle of July? So it's 6 weeks. That's a bit of a wait.
Yeah, and the problem is. It's not a bad, I think once a month or so is a really good cadence, but I think the problem is there's not enough new to fill in the gaps in between that, because again, it's a big launch lineup, but what comes next, what is the big third party game that's going to get people excited? And if you don't own a PlayStation, an Xbox, or a PC, yeah, there's a novelty in Final Fantasy VII on the go. There's a novelty in Bravely Default has its fans. Split Fiction is a newish game, but I also don't necessarily think it's a massive appeal game for a lot of people. Street Fighter VI, I think, is actually a good get. Especially, I think Street Fighter VI is a good get in the sense that it's coming out with new content at the same time as the other consoles. So issue kind of it's kind of like a definitive edition. So that's kind of a positive. But none of us play fighting games.
Right.
So it's one of those things. Yakuza Zero Director's Cut is such a weird. I mean, partially because they don't even call the franchise Yakuza anymore. There's like three games in the successor series to that.
Yeah, they just released a like a Dragon Pirates whatever.
Yeah. So it's that stuff where, again, we shall see. I'm kind of curious. I'm hoping that we'll get a direct either really close to the end of this month or like right after launch because Donkey Kong is dated, but then I don't think anything else is from them. And I do think there's probably, like, I'm just surprised it's not a single Microsoft title at all. Like,
yeah, that's weird.
Especially being like so much of it was rumored, like a Sea of Thieves. I would have pegged Hi-Fi Rush until everything happened with the studio. Yeah. I think a rare replay collection would be great.
Yeah, even Gears Reloaded is not listed for Switch 2.
Yeah.
I think that would be that. I mean, I already own it on Xbox and PC, I think, but that actually might. I would think about buying it. I think it's a $40 game to have Gears like mobile. That would be weird. I might do that, but it's not listed. So, all right. Well, we will be back next week. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Some other stuff.
Yeah, and some other stuff. Earl, say goodnight.
From us here at the Perfectly Sane Show headquarters, we wish you a good night and a happy weekend.